I won't be here. I'll be leaving Thursday. So today, you're going to have your Mother's Day message, ladies, all right? Yeah. And that doesn't mean for you guys to check out or you know, get out your phones and you know, no. Because if it's in the Word of God, it's for everyone. There's something that everyone can draw out of. It's not just a woman's message, you know, a Mother's Day message. No, it's for the guys too, because it's the Word of God. So open your Bibles to the book of Judges. Now, we don't go too often. You may not go too often to Judges. That's in the Old Testament. But to the book of Judges, the fourth chapter. And we're going to talk today about the Deborah anointing. The Deborah anointing. She was a phenomenal woman of God, a phenomenal person just in her own right, Deborah was. Deborah 4. Gideon's a little bit extra time, being that you probably don't spend a lot of time reading Judges, but it's a, like all the other books in the Bible, you know, it's a great, great book to read. Every book, in fact, has chock full of revelation and just good things in it. Judges 4. But after Ehud died, the Israelites again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Goodness. They did evil again, and the Bible says that each man just did according to what he thought was right in his own eyes. So, and that's bad, because there was no line of demarcation separating evil and good. It's just that if a person thought, well, there's nothing wrong with this, there's nothing wrong with sleeping with my neighbor's wife, nothing wrong with that, and so they did it. And they continually did evil in the sight of the Lord, constantly. And so it goes on in verse 2. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth, the fortress or city of the nations. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron and had severely oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Oppressed for 20 years by this commander-in-chief. And of course, 900 iron chariots too, to show off and to intimidate them. But notice, though, it says that the people cried out to the Lord, but they didn't cry out to God in repentance. They cried out for relief, just to help us, Lord. Because, yes, they did continual evil in the sight of God, but they cried out to God, but it didn't say they repented. They just wanted God to deliver them, to comfort them. Send some relief, Lord, from these oppressors. Big difference in that. Have you ever been in the place where you didn't really want to fully commit to God, but yet you wanted relief from something, relief from the torment, from that situation? And instead of just giving your entire being and just saying, Lord, I repent, I brought this on myself. But sometimes people just want relief from these symptoms. And after the Lord is gracious and he answers our prayers, and he'll remove these symptoms, and then just people go back to their old ways again. And that was a pattern with the Israelites, with Israel. They continually went back after seeking other gods, worshiping idols, and doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. Now, verse 4 says, now Deborah, she was a prophetess, and she was the wife of Lapidoth. How would you like to have your husband's name? Lapidoth, dinner. You know, they had some unusual names in the Old Testament, both male and female. But she was a wife as well. And she judged Israel at that time. So she was a judge, a prophetess, a prophet, and also she was a wife. She also was a military leader, we'll find that out, and a songwriter. She was known as the Mother of Israel. Now, that position stands for authority. When she was She was the mother of Israel. Now, in verse 5, it says, she sat under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. So she sat under a palm tree, Deborah's palm it was called, and it was a date palm. How would you like to have that for your office? You know, she sat, and there were some pictures in the Bible depicting that, this beautiful date palm tree. And she sat under that, and that was her office. And then the people, she didn't go to the people, but the people came to her, and they highly respected, loved, and regarded her because of her soundness, her wisdom, her extraordinary wisdom, and every case that she had that she judged, she prayed about it, she sought the Lord for it, and she heard clear as a bell the Lord all the time. So she was rightfully the judge. And she sat under this huge palm tree. And this palm tree represents righteousness, beauty, grace, and justice. So God raises up a courageous woman named Deborah to be the judge in Israel. And she was full of wisdom and grace. But Deborah's office as a judge during that time, now understand, during that 20 years of oppression, Israel, you know, you often wonder, Israel had a pretty big army. They had a commander in chief, which was Barak. We'll find out more about him later. And yet, nobody challenged them. Nobody challenged the Canaanites. They stayed under that oppression continually. And they had no voice in the land. There was no male prophets that spoke up. And that's kind of unusual. You know, but God will always have a mouthpiece. God will always have a voice. And it just so happened to be Deborah was that person. She was the prophet and the judge. But Deborah's office as judge brought humiliation for the Jews because they lived in a male-dominated society. And in that society, they only wanted male leadership. They only wanted males. But we know in God's kingdom, that leadership has no gender. There's no male or there's no female. There isn't. But God looks at three things: character, your giftings, and the anointing. There's no gender. And yet in a time when men certainly could have been raised up to lead, but there was no voice. But Deborah was that voice. She was the prophet. She was also a judge. And also a military leader. You know, one thing about in the Bible, if you notice in the Bible, notice there are no overnight successes. There are no overnight stardoms. There's no people that just, you know, you read about them, and then the next chapter, there they are, raised up to their call, operating in fullest anointing. And God doesn't take shortcuts with his people. And when God anoints, when he calls, when he chooses you. Look, just three people, for example. Look at Moses. Look at Joseph. Look at David. Look the paths that God had to lead them down to come to their full call and their full power. David was out with the sheep. And when Samuel anointed him as king, the very next day, David didn't go into the palace and he didn't start reigning and saying, okay, where's my servants? And he went right back to the sheep, right back into caring for the sheep. And Joseph too. Joseph had dreams by God. Now, he should have kept them to himself, but he didn't. And that's what got him in trouble with his brothers. And so we all know the story. And Joseph went through some bends and some winding roads, and he went through some horrific trials and suffering because of the call of God and where God was taking him. But thank God, just these three didn't give up or didn't just exit. Joseph's thrown in prison, And yet, after Joseph goes through all of these things, he was favored and he was obedient, faithful, consistent to God. Now, what if Joseph didn't go through all of this process, if he didn't develop his character? I think that when he finally rose to the second highest in the land as governor of Egypt, remember when there's a famine in the land, so Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to petition them, you know, we need some grain. Can we buy some grain from you? We need food. We're starving back there. And they didn't recognize Joseph. And when Joseph seen his brothers, had he not allowed the Lord just to work with his heart, just to mold him, and just to, develop godly character over the years, even in the midst of where he was innocent, but yet it's just that he was hit with one thing after the other. Had he not allowed the workings of God within his heart, he probably would have killed his brothers. He probably either that or threw him in prison. Oh, now you know me. Now that I have power, remember when you sold me into slavery? Remember when, where were you then? You know, he could have had a root of bitterness from way, way, way back then, and how they lied to his father and all of these injustices done to him. So when you're called as a leader, if you have a call, you're chosen, and we're all called, but there are certain ones that have specific calls on their lives. Just know, don't give up and don't get restless thinking, it's taken so long, why it's been so many years, why God's not calling me out, doing this, my ministry. But allow God to do those inner workings in your life, in your character, in your personality, in your heart. Joseph, David, Moses, my goodness. It took years and years and years for them to be developed. And yet they didn't come to a place of perfection, but they came to a place of where God can use them and trust them because their character was developed. And so just some of you just need to stay in the oven a little longer, because we know that half-baked, ladies, do you ever bake anything, or men, and it comes out half-baked and it's raw inside? Well, it's no good. You discard it. The dogs won't even eat it, You can't consume or partake or enjoy anything that's half-baked. And so when the Lord is working in your life, that's when you need to stay on the wheel, stay in the oven. And sometimes things get heated. And sometimes the things like, it's not going to happen for me. Well, Lord, I know you called me. I know you placed this. You told me I was going to do these things. But yet, he has to do a work in all of our lives, in all of our lives. There are just no overnight things where God calls you, bam, the anointing, and then you're sent out. But it takes years and years and years of training. The Lord hasn't forgotten. He knows. He knows exactly when you're ready and when you're ready to be sent out or ready to use. And sometimes when God calls you, and he'll say, especially into the fivefold ministry, sometimes it's good to just tuck that away in your heart and not say, well, I'm going to be a pastor, or I'm going to be, an apostle, or, the Lord may have just spoken that privately to you, and that's between you and him. And if you get too premature and step out, then sometimes you're just putting the cart before the horses, So when the Lord, you'll just say, I just felt that from a young age, or I just felt that early on that God has called me to do this, or even the fivefold ministry. Keep that between you and the Lord and pray over it. And then wait for him to launch you. Wait for him to open the doors for you to shine and to move fully into your ministry. Because anything premature may just, like I said, you just may have to stay in the oven just a little longer. So Deborah is the prophet and the judge during that time. But yet, even though she was a woman, but God doesn't look, again, he doesn't look at gender, but he looks at the heart, he looks at the character, and of course, the gifting. So it says in verse 6 in Judges 4, so she sends and calls Barak, and she says to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 of these men from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. So Deborah receives instructions from God. God tells her to go to Barak, who is the commander-in-chief of the army of the Israelites, and to take 10,000 men with him. Now, mind you, all this time, 20 years, Israel's being oppressed by the Canaanites, being oppressed by Sisera. And not one time did Barak, by the way, his name in Hebrew means lightning, not one time did he arise to even challenge the Canaanites or to even take them on. So can you imagine 20 years of oppression and of being fearful? And when they seen the 900 iron chariots that they had, and that Sisera had, his chariots, all intimidating, and his men. And so Israelites didn't have a word from God, but yet they had Deborah. So God speaks to Deborah, and she rises up and calls for Barak one day and says, has not the Lord God commanded you? So in other words, she's commanding him and saying, now take, go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 of your men. And so Deborah receives instruction from God, and she moves quickly to act on it, because after all, she knows the voice of God so well. When God speaks to her with the word, you know, the prophet's office is a pretty heavy-duty office. It's not a light office. You know, sometimes people think they're prophets, but they're not. But, you know, just because you hear words from the Lord, but the prophet's office is a very weighty, weighty office. And but when God spoke to her, she heard. She didn't waver on the command. She didn't second guess when God spoke to her. Deborah's faith in God gave her the power to act. So Deborah instructs, and she goes to Barak, and she tells him, you know, what the Lord had commanded. And then in verse 7, and then she goes to help him out. She says, and I, meaning this is Deborah talking, I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you at the river Kishon with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into your hand. So she's giving instructions to Barak and saying that the Lord is going to deliver Sisera into your hands. Now, you would think commander of the Israelites, and probably been in many, many battles, probably had many victories. But for 20 years, no activity, no nothing, no going to battle, nothing. You would think that Barak would be like, yes, yes, you know, and just rise up to the occasion and charge. Yes, we're going to do this, and be all excited. But notice his response, Barak's response to Deborah in verse 8. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I'll go. But if you will not go with me, I'm not going. Whoa. That I'm sure threw Deborah off. You know, here the prophet, prophetess, and the judge, and a military leader approaches him, says, thus saith the Lord, you are to go take 10,000 of your men. And then he tells her, you know, no, I'll go, but you're going with me. But if you don't go, I'm not going. Half obedience is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And so Deborah, now there are many reasons why, and I wondered about this, and I thought, why would he respond like that? You know, was it fear? Was it, insecurity because it was Deborah speaking to him? But no, Barak and Deborah, they moved as a team. But if you want to study this, when you go to the Hebrew Hall of Fame, you know, where they have listed all the people of great faith, guess whose name is in there? Barak. Barak's name is in there. In Hebrew 11, it mentions his name. So it wasn't that he lacked faith either. And it wasn't like he just was overcome and seized with fear. Oh, the 900 chariots. Oh, Sisera, man, I heard some stories about this guy. He's a mean dude. And, you know, or maybe he just, because they haven't been in battle, he had his feet wet. And so he just felt like, I don't know if I'm up for this. But yet, Deborah, even, look at her response to him, his half obedience. She says to him in verse 9, I will surely go with you, but nevertheless, the trip you take will not be for your glory. Oh, right there. Now she's speaking here, she's prophesying to him. Because you said you would not go unless I go. Now, what if for some reason Deborah couldn't go? Then the word of the Lord wouldn't have been fulfilled. The Israelites wouldn't have gotten delivered, and so on and so forth. But because, she says, his half obedience. She said, the trip you take will not be for your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And not going to be Deborah either. It's not going to be Deborah. So I find that interesting. She says to him, go gather your men. I will draw out Sisera. I'm going to do this for you, Barak, the general Jabin's army, and deliver him into your hands. So she says, nevertheless, the Lord will take the glory from you for the victory of this battle and will turn it over into the hands of a woman. And so there again, I don't know how much of a discouragement that was for him, but he's still geared up. And as we go on in verse 10, it says, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his heels, and Deborah went with him. So, you know, Barak had to be a man of strength. He was Israel's, the commander of Israel's army. He didn't lack courage or faith. So I just believe that Barak was so devoted and had such respect for Deborah's prophetic office and her wisdom as a judge, that he just refused to go into battle without her, without the word of the Lord there. And so being that she said, thus saith the Lord, he just said, if you're not going, I'm not going to go. But on the other hand, on the flip side of that, bring that here today in our lives. If the Lord speaks to you and asks you to do something, commands you to do something, go do this, and it doesn't have to be huge, but, you know, the Lord will work with you right where you're at. But he speaks to you and tells you something. Oh, I can't speak before people. I can't, you know, and we're hesitant. But when the Lord does that, with his commandments, he brings enablement. And he'll enable you. But the Lord, you're going to have to take that first step, though, in whatever it is. And just knowing that not stepping out and acting on it when you are prompted by the Lord or your pastor's asked you to do something and you come up with all these excuses, well, the Lord frowns upon that because for whatever reason, the enablement is there, the anointing is there. And don't you think that the Lord would see fit that there's something in you that the Lord wants to raise up, that he's polishing, that he's working on you for not just for the future, but raising you up as a leader. And as sometimes intimidating as is on our flesh and on our emotions, you know, I could just imagine Barak, you know, the overwhelming emotion and the weightiness of that. Oh, we're going to battle. Wow, 10,000 of my men, My guys haven't been in battle for over 20 years. Whoa, you know, just the weightiness of that, of what Deborah had asked him to do. Actually, it was the Lord that had commanded him. So when the Lord speaks to you and gives you an assignment, or when your pastor, or when someone in leadership, you know, pray about it, but don't take 2-3 months to pray about it. But, you know, the Lord would single you out and say, no, you're qualified, because the Lord sees the end before the beginning. He places those things in each and every one of you. And without that stepping out on your part and exercising your just willingness. And you know, a lot of times we fake it until we make it, really, you know, and just lean and believe on God. You know, how many times, you know, when Pastor Herman was leader of men's ministry and with ladies' ministry, there's just times with a meeting, and I'll be honest with you, I say, I don't have a clue. I really don't. You know, I don't know where to go with this. I don't know what to do. But the Holy Ghost knew, and He knows, and He helps me. To where you would never know. And people would think, boy, you're really good at this. No, you're not. You're not good at this. It's just the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost makes us look good. And you know how sometimes I wish we can have pictures, you know, where you see yourself before and after. You know, how about pictures before the anointing and pictures of after the anointing? You know, after the Lord has anointed you and using you, there's just the anointing brings out the best in us. It brings, it just sharpens you. It just brings out the best in your personality. You just shine. You know, well, the glory of the Lord is on you. So we should never shy or step back when you know God is. Calling you in a certain area. And if it hasn't happened yet, it hasn't fully opened up for you, that's all right. The Lord's still working on you in these different areas. You may think you're ready, but the Lord sees and He knows the inside of our hearts. He knows our progress. Character is big. It's big with the Lord. A lot of people are gifted. We're all gifted. Each one of you are gifted. Well, how do you know that? Each one of you have things that you love to do. That's your gifting. Whether it's baking, cooking, singing, working with children, teaching, whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be necessarily in the church, but you can still give God the glory for that gifting. Everyone has a gifting, but those giftings need polishing. They need to be, those rough edges need to be roughed out, because otherwise, you know, you get sent out prematurely, you'll not only bring an embarrassment to your church, but also to the kingdom of God. If your character is just not fully pruned, developed, and tweaked, not that you're perfect, no, but yet you just have some things that are just cemented in you, a good solid foundation, you know, your speech, the way you handle yourself, the way you present yourself. You're not that hothead that you used to be, or, you know, God has just instilled and deposited things in you that are pleasing to Him, and He can work with you. And so, but that's a place to where it takes time, definitely takes time. So as we're going on with this, in verse 12, now, when it was told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together all his chariots and all the men who were with him. And Deborah said to Barak, verse 14, up, for this is the day when the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Is not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with the 10,000 men, following him. Then the Lord confuses and terrifies Sisera and all his chariot drivers and all his army before Barak with his sword. Well, the Lord sent, when you study this account, the Lord sent a horrible rainstorm and just wiped out all 900 of Sisera's chariots. And so the Bible says that every one of Sisera, the enemy, every one of his men in this battle were wiped out. They were all killed in this battle, all because of the hand of the Lord. It was all the Lord's doing. So in verse 15 says, so the Lord confused and terrified Sisera and disabled all of his chariots. So all of his men died except for Sisera, who fled on foot. Sisera was the only one that survived that battle, and he fled on foot. Now, back in those days, if you were a captain and commander of your army, if you fled from a battle, that was pretty embarrassing. And then to be killed while you were fleeing, that's humiliating on top of being embarrassed. And then to be killed and turned over into the hands of a woman, that was just a sheer disgrace, you know, insult on top of injury. But this is what happened. This is what happened to Sisera. So as it goes on, Sisera is running away from Barak, and Barak is pursuing him. But remember what the word of the Lord, what Deborah's prophetic word was, that Barak, you're not going to get the glory on this one. You're not going to get recognition for this, but because you half-heartedly obeyed me, I'm going to turn and give the victory into the hands of a woman. So Sisera is running, and he runs into a tent of a woman named Jael, J-A-E-L, and she was the wife of Hebor, the Kenite. So he goes to her into her tent. And I believe that his family and her family were kind of friendly with each other on good terms. So he goes to her tent and he asks her for some water. But she doesn't give him water. She gives him milk. But back in those days, they didn't have refrigeration. And so the milk that they had was curdled. And, I guess they like drinking curdled milk. But so she offers him curdled milk, which has an intoxifying effect on him, you know, because it's warm. Again, they have no refrigerators or anything to keep things cold. So she gives him milk to drink, and then she offers him a blanket. And because he was exhausted from the run, exhausted from battle, he falls completely into a deep sleep. And he feels he's safe in her tent, you know, because after all, she says, you're safe, come inside the tent here and rest. So Sisera, he falls into a deep sleep and is sleeping. Now, Jael, I believe, was led by God and a very unsuspecting person in this whole story, because you would think that Deborah would have been the one to get the glory for this because she was the one that prophesied and whatnot. But it actually was Jael. Back in those days, you know, they lived in tents, and the women were in charge of erecting the tents, putting them up, staking them in the ground. The women's did that. They erected the tents, and then they, brought them down when they moved camp. So while Sisera is sleeping, Jael, she gets a hammer and a tent peg. And you know, those tent pegs weren't little things like 1 inch, those tent pegs were probably about something like this long and sharp. And she goes up to him and she places the tent peg right on his temple in his head. Boom! Right through his temple of his head. And the Bible, it's in the Bible, you want to read it, you're looking like, oh, does it say that? It does. Yeah, it does. Verse 19, and he said to her, before he got the tent peg, I pray you a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opens a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you, is there any man here? Tell him no. Well, he's asking her to lie too as well. So, but Jael took a tent pin and a hammer in her hand, went softly to him, probably singing Brahms' lullaby, Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop, takes that pin and the hammer. And then in verse 21, she drove the pin through his temple into the ground, for he was in a deep sleep from weariness. So he died. So he died. And thus fulfilled Deborah's prophecy. He delivered the enemy into the hands of a woman. So Barak finally arrives at the tent, and she's just like, come on in and see what I got for you, you know. And there's Sisera, you know, with the tent peg dead as can be, you know. Right through the ground that tent peg went, all at the hands of those women. Those women were pretty strong, you know. Those women were amazingly, you know, strong in those days. And but God used her. So never think because of your profession or where you, what you do, where you're at, well, the Lord doesn't really use me. He'll use any one of you at any particular time to do great and mighty things for him. Not just because you don't have the call or you don't come behind the pulpit. Wherever God places you, even if you're, you know, you're a homemaker, you're at home, you think that, you know, well, I did my time, I served the Lord, I served in ministry. Lord still wants to use you in uncanny ways. Jael didn't wake up that morning and think, I'm going to slay the commander of the Canaanite army and put a tent peg in his temple. But yet the Lord supernaturally moved upon her. And while he was sleeping, you know, boom, right through. And the victory and the victory was given to the Israelites. So Barak comes, and so in verse 22, Barak pursued Sisera. Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man you seek. When he came into her tent, he seen Sisera laying dead there. So God subdued on that day Jabin, king of Canaan before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites bore more and more upon Jabin, king of Canaan, until they were destroyed. So Deborah at that point writes a song of victory, and it's called Deborah's Song. And Deborah's Song is a commemoration of just one of the greatest victories in Israel's time, in Israel's history. And Barak sang this song with her, and that song is in verse 5, where it says, then sang Deborah and Barak on that day, saying, and if you go read verse chapter 5, it describes this amazing song that Deborah wrote. She was also a songwriter, as I mentioned. But Deborah had so many qualities as a leader that were just phenomenal, that were outstanding in that time. One of her qualities, of course, was her wisdom. People sought her out for counsel and guidance to solve their hardest of problems. When they were dealing with problems regarding their land, disputes, financial situations, they all came to Deborah, and they sought her under her palm tree. That was her office there. And she answered and gave them divine wisdom of God. And another one of her attributes was she was so approachable. She was so well-respected and loved. She had such a sweet spirit about her. And the Hebrew name for Deborah, I know in the looking it up, they pronounce it Deborah, but we say Deborah. And you'll find this interesting that the Hebrew name for Deborah is honeybee. Yeah, honeybee. And honeybee means one who speaks. One who speaks. Her name meant honeybee. Well, we all know the history of the honeybee. They produce honey. And we know that honey is a staple food. So many of our foods have honey in it. And honey is also medicinal too, has medicinal properties in it. I know when we used to paddle canoe before our major races, our coach would tell us we'd have to take 6 tablespoons of honey on an empty stomach. And you know, on an empty stomach, you know, I would prefer 6 espressos, especially when you're going to paddle canoe. But they told us honey. And it works. I tell you, the energy and just the focus and the clarity that you have. And this is just in a sport. But honey has a lot of properties. Doesn't the Bible talk about the word resembling, it's like honey, it's like honeycomb going down. It's sweet, sweet to the spirit, sweet to the soul. And so Deborah was a honeybee or a queen bee, so to speak. And honey had healing properties. So also Deborah had healing virtue in her life too. When people came to her, she ministered healing to them because of that's what her name meant. Husbands, look at your wives and say, "You're my honeybee." Come on, you guys are just looking straight ahead. I'm not going to say that. Just say, "You're my honeybee. You're my queen bee." She is. She is. She's your queen bee. And someone very popular made this statement and said, "Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee." Muhammad Ali didn't originate that saying. He got that from Deborah. You know, she's the main, she's the queen honeybee. And Deborah's sting. And, you know, bees do sting. They do if you mess with them the wrong way, you know. But bees work in unity. They work in teams. Bees, especially the queen bee, will go to her and formulate and build. They're builders. They build their hives. And they're wonderful team players, especially with the other bees. Another quality of Deborah is her sensitivity to God. She knew the Lord and his voice. She also was a leader to leaders. She praised and developed leaders. She was a leader, but she was a leader to the other leaders. She developed and raised them up, and she knew how to do that. You hear sometimes a term where he's a pastor's pastor, you know, or like a father where other pastors look up to him, and so forth. Well, Deborah was a leader to the leaders. One of her other characteristics was that she was just so courageous to lead Israel into victory by means of Barak. Deborah also understood the role of leadership, and she favored a team approach. And as you leaders that are here today, you know, none of you can do your ministry by yourself, but it's being team-minded, getting it done, and delegating things to your other team members, but being team-minded, that's so, so important as a leader, that there's no man is an island. You can try to do things on your own, but it would be just so much easier to do it as a team and a team effort. Deborah's heart was, it was with the people and it was for the people. She loved the people. She took time and listened to them, listened to their problems when they would come to her. And she would pray about what they had asked her and what they, their situations. Her heart, her love for the Israelis was beyond, well, she was known as the mother. She was the mother of Israel. And she was one who speaks and declares the oracles of God. And she always made sure that God received the glory and the honor in all of the victories that God won for her. She always gave the glory back to God. God said to Deborah to tell Barak, because you refuse to go for whatever reason, you may even have a good reason why you say, "I can't do that right now. Maybe ask so-and-so, you know, they seem like a better candidate. They seem like they're stronger in that area of ministry where they could maybe accomplish it." No, God wants you to do it. There's a reason why he's pointing to you. So because of Barak's response, the victory went to Jael, went to a woman. And Deborah's, this anointing on Deborah is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. She broke the mold of so many categories. The Deborah anointing, ladies, it's comfortable and with your giftings, and you embrace your giftings and what God has placed on the inside of you, and you're not intimidated or not set back by those who may be operating in maybe something that seems more pronounced or maybe something that's in the forefront. No matter what you're doing, what your gift is, the Deborah anointing will pronounce, embrace that anointing upon your life, no matter what your age is, what your call is, no matter what it is, whether it's just you just cook all for the glory of God, whether it's just you bake, whether you serve in the children's ministry here in the church behind this pulpit. The Deborah anointing is not just for thus saying the Lord. It's not just for prophesying, and it's not just for being a judge, but the Deborah anointing is upon each and every one of you ladies to fulfill your call. But it's being comfortable, not comfortable into the point where you don't use it and you get a little bit, you know, where you pull your gift out and gotta dust it off because you haven't used it and flowed in it for a while. Every one of you have that anointing, that gifting on you. Maybe not to the extent of some others, but of Deborah. But we can all learn from Deborah's courage and her amazing qualities just as a woman for advancing the kingdom of God. Amen. She was, you know, just an amazing, amazing vessel. And, you know, some of these accounts in the Bible, they're true. But when you read them, I'll tell you what, Netflix and Hollywood hasn't got anything over on the Bible, you know. I mean, when you just take that situation with JL, I mean, my goodness. And there's just so many accounts in the Bible that will just like, they did what? She, you know, it's just amazing, you know, of the courageous strength and courage and also some of the things that brought them down as well. Well, I would ask every one of you to bow your heads right now at this time. Father, Holy Spirit, oh, we thank you. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the anointing. And Father, I thank you for specifically the women here today, that even though we're honoring them a week early, that's okay. But Lord, that to let them know that my heart is with them. And Lord, that I honor them. I honor each and every one of them and their giftings, their supply, and all that they bring to the table. And even if some think they are so insignificant, they're not. For you can use and you want to use each and every one of these women, Lord. The Deborah anointing. If someone could, Reuben or Larry, could you go and get Lena from the children's ministry? And Mariah, could you please come down here, honey? Can you leave the station up there? Can somebody take over? When I was studying, preparing for this, two people rose up in my heart to pray over. And one of them was Mariah, the other one was Lena. And so we're going to do that. Come, honey. And as Lena's is coming, as I was studying and preparing for this message on Deborah and the Deborah anointing, the Lord brought you to mind. And I'm going to pray with you and over you. And I want your mom and dad to come up here too as well. Stand behind you. You just come standing the altar. They're going to stand in back of you. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I lay my hands on this one, on Mariah. And even though she is still at a tender young age, the call is there. Yes, the call is there. The Deborah call, the Deborah anointing. And I anoint Mariah this day with the Deborah anointing, one of courage, one of extreme divine wisdom, one of leadership to rule and to be that voice, to be that voice that would speak for you, for those that cannot speak for themselves, Lord. And Lord, that as she grows and comes into fruition, Lord, even at this tender young age, you are raising her up for her call and for her purpose, Father. The Deborah anointing, I release that now over her, right now in the name of Jesus. I anoint you, Mariah, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to walk in this anointing, to know his voice, to hear the voice of the Lord when he speaks, the courage that is already there within you, and the boldness. The Lord has placed that on the inside of you, all for the glory of God, all for the glory of God. So I call you, Mariah, into this call, into this anointing, the mantle of Deborah. And I seal it this day in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you accept this? Do you receive that? Amen. Amen. And now I admonish the parents, the mom and dad, Brenda and Lambert, to continue to nurture her, to nurture and guard, protect this anointing over their daughter, to see that she walks in that way, to lead her and to guide her. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, especially to guard this anointing, because the enemy would love to dismantle it. But we seal it today by the power of the Holy Spirit and over this precious young lady's life. And that years from now, months from now, Holy Spirit, you'll bring back to her remembrance this prayer and what was prayed over her May 2nd, 2021. The Deborah mantle rests upon you, Mariah, in the name of Jesus. And everyone agrees by saying, amen, 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 amen. Now, you may not feel anything different. You may not have goosebumps. You may not feel no heat, no anything like that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The anointing and the call of God, we don't check our feelings or check with these things in the natural, in the flesh, to solidify and validate what the Lord says. So, but it's an honor. Yeah. Love you, sweetie. Amen. 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 Okay, you go back to your seat. Alina, come on over. I don't know if you got to listen to any. We were talking about the Deborah anointing in the Bible in Judges. Yes. That Deborah was a prophetess. She was a judge. She was a wife. She was a military leader and a songwriter. And as I was studying, preparing for this message, just two faces came to my mind. You were one of them, and Mariah was the second one. So I'm just going to obey, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray over you, okay? Regarding this Deborah anointing. Okay, lift your hands to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lay hands on Lena. And Father, I impart and release the Deborah anointing upon her and upon her life. Lord, that there has been some degree of it that she's operated in and flowed in the past, but a greater flow and all the attributes and the enablements will come with it and for the task ahead, for the assignments ahead, in Jesus' name. And Father, as Deborah means honeybee, one who speaks, Father, Holy Ghost, you will release Lena's mouth, open her mouth wide, and you'll fill it, you'll fill it, you'll fill it. And Lord, she'll speak those things boldly, thus proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. And Father, that it will even amaze her, Father, as to what you'll do in her life in the soon coming future. So rest now, for I have assignments and I have things for you to accomplish, all for my glory, all for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, I release that upon Lena and I seal it this day. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And I want every lady, everyone, not just mothers, but if every woman could stand to their feet. Every lady. Now, ladies, just lift your hands to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost, I release this Deborah anointing upon your daughters, your handmaidens, this day, upon each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus, boldness, courage, the ability to speak on behalf of those that cannot speak, hearing the voice of the Lord explicitly and saying, "Here am I, Lord, use me." I release this anointing over each and every woman standing today. I bless them. And for the ones that aren't here, for the wives that are working, for those that are next door in the nursery, for those that couldn't be here, Father, Lord, your anointing knows no distance. I also anoint and send that anointing upon them, that they'll become bold in, more bold in their faith, bolder in their assignments, bold in the anointing, bold for you. You says that my people shall do great exploits, and your handmaidens are willing and equipped and enabled this day to do all that you speak to them to do. Small or big, no matter what the assignment is, all to advance the kingdom of God. I release that upon each and every one of them. I speak strength also to weariness. I speak strength to their bodies, to their minds, strength to their hearts. In the name of Jesus. And the anointing shall empower and enable them from this day forward to do that which they never thought that they could do, in Jesus' name. And all the ladies say, amen and amen, amen. You may be seated. I bless you this day, each and every one of you ladies. You are all so unique. You're also so precious. What you bring, your supply in your personalities, your sweetness. You're all honeybees. and yet we're all working together to achieve a purpose, to further the kingdom of God, to bring in the harvest into this church, from outside, from the community, from the islands, and we'll accomplish that. But because we're celebrating Mother's Day a little earlier, I wanted to pray that over you. So I love each and every one of you, and so appreciate all your smiles, your tears, your giftings. Proud of each and every one of you, and eat,